Hey, hey, this is Danny Sunshine hosting this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders just like you fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If that sounds interesting to you, you can learn more about the leadership community, aka the mastermind, and apply to join at betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM. In today's show, I talk with Barry Sabe. He was awesome. Like, wow. And Glenn Robbins, he introduced us. Barry works in his district. And Glenn, if you're listening, thank you for introducing me to Barry. Barry, if you're listening, thank you for your generous conversation. And listener that is currently listening, you're going to be excited because can't you tell? I enjoyed this conversation. But you're also going to learn some interesting things like how to absorb from everywhere and then add that to your life. The power of gratitude, which I can talk about every single day. And Barry's approach to being great every day, not just some days, not once in a while, but every single day. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
I'm Jethro Jones from Transformative Principle, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, well, hey there, better leaders. I'm excited to connect with a new educator, Barry Sabe, and really excited for this one because a mutual friend, Glenn Robbins, is the one who said, you need to interview Barry and just talk education. This would be a great conversation. So Barry, very excited for you to be here on the show. He's been in education for 18 years. Barry is currently serving as a director of curriculum and instruction for Tabernacle School District in Tabernacle, New Jersey. He's a current board member for NJASCD, is an ASCD emerging leader and ASCD influence leader. He is a former elementary school teacher, supervisor of curriculum and instruction, and adjunct college professor. He served on educator work groups for the New Jersey Department of Ed and advised on policy for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Great Schools, and National Council for Teacher Quality. Connect with Barry via Twitter at BarryKid1 or his website, BarrySabe.com. Barry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Danny. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I would like to start our conversation and see where it goes from here, but what idea has you fascinated right now in education? Or is there a topic that really just has you fired up?
That's a great question. Like, way to start small, Danny.
Here's the thing is that Glenn said you're going to enjoy this conversation so much. And there's the typical warm-up questions that I use. We're pulling the Band-Aid off right in the beginning.
Let's just have a real conversation. I appreciate that. My wife always says when we go out with friends that I'm terrible with small talk because, quite honestly, it bores me. And for me, it's about having a real discussion and having a meaningful one. Because otherwise, what are we doing here? Like, if you really want to know, like, what my favorite sandwich is, I can tell you. But how does that make you better? So, to build on kind of what you're saying, you're talking about, like, where's my passion right now? Or, like, where's my focus right now? And I guess when we're talking education, it really always comes down to the people that you surround yourself with. So, for me, I'm always trying to figure out who can I learn from. What can I learn from them? How is it going to make me better? And then how can I turnkey that and invest in others? Because we're a growth industry. So it can't just be about me growing, but how can I turn around and invest in you? So when I'm thinking about being on this show with you, I'm really thinking about how is this conversation going to go so both of us come out and feel like we're better for having had this conversation.
Mm. I love that perspective so much because it's easy to think, what am I going to get out of it? You know, but it takes more effort and it takes special kind of person, I think, to try to consider how can I give? How can I contribute? You know, how can I make sure that this is a meaningful conversation, not just for us and we walk away with something special, but also for the listeners too. So I appreciate what you're sharing there. Let's go back to the people you surround yourself with. What does that look like? Maybe within your role, but outside of school too, I'm curious what that might look like because listeners may sometimes struggle with that, right? In finding the people that are going to sharpen their saw, you know, so many metaphors that we could use, or that quote, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? Barry, when I heard that, it ruined my life. So let me stop there. What's that look like for you surrounding yourself with others within your local position? And then what does that look like outside?
That's a good question. You know, I think if you think about it as just five or multiples of five, then there's a whole lot of people that you're not connecting with, because you're limiting yourself to those five or those multiples of five. So for me, I'm thinking about who can those influencers be just in terms of changing my mindset from where it is to where it needs to go. You know, on a day like today in New Jersey where it's rainy out and it's a Monday and, you know, everything went wrong in terms of making sure I got my kids out on time and, you know, the house looking okay and taking care of the dog. My mindset wasn't right from the minute I got in the car. So for me, it's about making sure I'm plugging in to thought leaders so I get to the right place in the right headspace before I walk in the door for work. Because there's a whole lot of people depending on me to have my best day to day. Because if I don't, I can't expect that from them. So, you know, I have an 80-minute commute each way each day. And so I use that obstacle of time to my benefit. So I listen to podcasts and I listen to music and I listen to things that are not educational related as well, all with the goal of engaging my mind to get me thinking so that when I have those interactions with kids and with adults and with board members and with my superintendent, that I'm pushing their thinking or I'm sharing with them the things that I'm grappling with. So together we're both growing.
I like the phrase, you know, how I can turn the obstacle of time to my benefit. And so often we look at the challenge, the obstacle, the pain point and see it as the negative. But if you can flip that, you know, it's two sides of the same coin. You can see the positive, the opportunity that's within it. You can turn that 80-minute commute into some really powerful learning. You know, when I was in Europe, riding my bike everywhere, yeah, I could listen to my headphones and get some learning time in. But it was different than when I was back in the States and I had at least a 30-minute commute that exponentially, you know, was just able to consume so much more. So I appreciate what you're sharing there. And then outside of work, what does it look like in terms of connecting with people that are going to make you better?
You know, it starts with family, right? I have two boys. My older one just turned 8 yesterday. My younger guy is 6. They're 21 months apart. And my wife's an educator. She's a third grade teacher. So it really starts there. So when you think about, you know, engaging with people, it's also about engaging in the moments that you're in.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we're so growth centered that we think like every minute I need to be writing, I need to be consuming, I need to be reading, I need to be doing something. But the inverse is true too, right? Like if you can live in that one moment that you're in, you can get a lot out of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I forget the research I read recently, but it was about that idle time mm-hmm. where you don't have anything necessarily going on, but you're just enjoying that space, which is where some of your most creative ideas come from.
Yeah,
I mean, I had one this morning where I was driving my older son into school after he had a dental appointment. And I just had this great idea for a presentation that I'm going to build and present on in a few months, just based on limiting beliefs and how you govern by them and how you can kind of break those down. And I never would have had that thought if I didn't have that drive time to bring my son into school and us to engage in just regular, just dad and son conversation.
Mm-hmm. It could be my bias or perspective experiences. So I'm throwing on that idea where you say engaging in the moment you're in right now. To me, that sounds very much like a mindfulness sort of principle, right? But I could be off. And so I'm just curious, let me ask you instead and clarify, what's that rooted in? You know, where's that, the fact that you value it, right? Where's that stemming from?
Well, I mean, you already know, right? Because you put the answer out there. It's very much rooted in mindfulness.
Okay.
Being aware of yourself and your surroundings and your ability to create impact, as well as the world, to create impact for you, and just being mindful of those moments that you're in to get the most out of them, sometimes by not thinking too hard. Because when we don't necessarily always challenge ourselves for the sake of challenging ourselves, we can really enjoy that moment and get something out of it.
Yeah. Those paradoxes, and you know, it's interesting because it makes me think of these great, I don't know if they're masters or like spiritual masters or just sages that passed down wisdom and that kind of thing. Sometimes they were described as fools, right? Mm-hmm. In just the sense that if you have the wonder of a kid, if you know, for me, Barry, like the idea of the idle time, what that looked like in my life, and a big aha moment for me in the last year has been like, you don't need the answer for everything. Wait, what? I don't need the, you know, I had this realization. I don't have to have it all figured out. And it's probably better to just try to ask even better questions than knowing everything. And maybe that means I read a few less books. Not that I want to stop learning, but you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. What's the motivation? Is it this rat race that it's just like, oh, I read 20, 30 books, you know, whatever. But if you don't implement and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, that's what your comment drew me to. And find that very interesting, and this idea of being in the moment and all that. Maybe one last comment on Headspace. I'm just curious, is there any other routines or rituals, things unique to Barry that would benefit everybody listening into the conversation right now that helps you clear up some headspace and get into being able to fully engage in the moment that you're in right now?
I don't know if it's necessarily unique to me, as it is that I just take pieces of different things that I hear and see and adapt them to me. You know, much like when I was a classroom teacher and I was always kind of just consuming and looking and listening and pulling different things and then weaving it into what made me. And so I do the same thing in terms of hacking into my personal life. So I make sure that, you know, I take the time every morning to just kind of do that gratitude walk and think about the things that I'm really appreciative of and the things that really have worked out well for me, even after things that may not have gone so well for me, you know, and to be able to draw that correlation that, you know, I wouldn't have had that great 60-minute phone call with a really well-known ELA provider if I didn't have the issues that I had when I was a classroom teacher with some administrators that didn't necessarily see education the way I saw it. So it's giving yourself that time to really say, I'm in a good place, and here's why. Because when you can come from that, you can have a conversation with anybody, regardless of what the tenor is going to be or how they're going to come into it, because you're always going to be coming from that place of just gratitude. Like you're just happy to be here. You're just happy to be alive. And then you can hear them for what they're saying, not the voice inflection or the tension or the body language, and really get down to just having a real solid foundation of communication. And you do that when you don't bring your ego into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You call this a gratitude walk is what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a daily thing?
Yeah. And sometimes it's just a walk in my mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
On the way into work, and if something really kind of shouts out to me, and I think it's just something that my staff would benefit from, or my PLN, like I'll just do a quick video and put it up on Twitter.
I love it.
You talk about, you know, go be great today.
Yeah.
The only one standing in your way of doing that is you. So what are you going to do to make sure that you make someone else's day great today? Because there's someone else who's coming in that may not feel as great as you do right now. So how are you going to lift them up? How are you going to make them want to come in on a Friday or a Monday, or if they didn't sleep all night or they didn't have any food on the table? Like, what are you going to do to be someone's best cheerleader? How are you going to do that? You know, and when you can get in that mindset, you can do anything. And sometimes all that is just a little firing up of yourself, because maybe you're not in that space. Yeah. You know, maybe you ran out and you were running behind the clock because the alarm didn't go off, and you know, you're tripping over something on the way down the stairs, and there's not enough gas in the tank, and you are stuck behind that driver from Pennsylvania who's in the left lane, but going just as slow as the one in the right. But you gotta get your mind right in order to be able to say, okay, like, what's the most important thing right now? And that's just me being me, chilling out, realizing the big picture, and knowing that when I get into work, I need to be great today. Because if I'm not holding myself to that standard, I cannot expect any of my staff or my kids to be there. And then all I am is a phony, and I can't do that.
When you think about being great, right? How do you measure, define, or establish the boundaries? Because right, we could ask 10 people what greatness is. They probably have 10 different definitions. So I'm just curious, like, how do you go about thinking in terms of what makes the day great?
Okay. You're right. You hit the nail on the head. Like, it's like asking people what leadership looks like, right? Mm-hmm. You'll get a different answer depending on the mindset and the school of thought. But for me, being great every day is, first, you're waking up on the right side of the pillow. And then you're making sure you do your fair share of listening. And then you also make sure you show up. And then it's, who can I invest in today? You know, and who's going to invest in me? And then how am I going to help someone else? And what am I going to do when I've got 7 things on my schedule that I walk into each one, like you said, as that brand new learner? Because you may have 7 to 10 things on your schedule in a day, but that person may just have one. It may just be you and then teaching. So if they're coming to you, how are you going to make that interaction meaningful? Because the more you can do that, the more they're going to then go back to their class and be better. So when I think about greatness, I think about, what am I modeling? What do I expect? And what is my role in making that happen?
It reminds me of an interview my friend did recently with one of those top executives at Disney. I think it was Dan Cockrell, Lee Cockrell's son. Mm-hmm. But you think of Disney, and they call themselves the most magical place on earth. And for the most part, people have a really awesome, you know, life event type experience, you know, just that bucket list or whatever. And then the interesting thing is that, you know, some folks save up their whole lives to go have that experience just once, which leaves the margin for error to be very slim, if it even exists. Yep. But I think we, you know, there's a really interesting line, and maybe we'll talk about this, like, there's an interesting line between that expectation of the greatness every day and knowing you're the Disney and the stakes are high and there's a small margin of error, and also not being like crazy, everything has to be perfect, you know, and just sludging people and stomping on people when it doesn't end up being perfect.
Yeah.
You know, how do you navigate that line?
Well, let me flip it, right? Let me flip it and push it back to you and see what you think, right? Like, sometimes it is about us. It's about making sure that we come in ready to do the hard work, rolling up our sleeves on the days that we don't want to do it and making it so everybody else wants to, because that's the investment that we make, right? But then sometimes, what about the inverse, right? How can we make sure that in every interaction we have with somebody, that they're the Disney moment, right? Mm-hmm. But just by connecting with them, that's Disney right there. You know, I think we can't lose sight of that either, because when you can have that moment and you're connecting with somebody, whether it's, you know, your first year math teacher or your really strong, you know, reading interventionist, how are you having that moment that you don't need to go anywhere because they're where it's at? And I think we need to think about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's about perspective, you know, and really concern that other person. And how to make it special for them is what I'm hearing. Make it great for them. That's an incredible motivator for me, despite where I'm at, to know that somebody's counting on me to show up and be great in this moment right now.
Yeah. And then also to make sure that you reinforce and reassure them that they matter.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be great today, but they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're here, they're important. And I know that every lesson you teach is not going to be the best lesson you've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I mean, I taught for 15 years and I can tell you a million stories about lessons that did not go well. But by the same token, are you comfortable enough with yourself to know that, hey, that one stunk, but I'm going to use it as a learning opportunity and say, here are the things that I tried. Here's where it worked. Here's what I didn't. How can I grow from that? That's the true nature of growth and reflection, is getting better at 1% each and every day by having that time to say, I tried it, that worked, that didn't, here's what I do now.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is deep. I love it. And I'll tell you what, Barry, I'm going to need to take a quick break to pause here for a message from our sponsors.
Organized Binder is a proven education success platform. Case studies show it develops the skills and habits students need for success. Organized Binder provides teacher a common structure and language for daily and unit planning without interfering with the teacher's individual style. With Organized Binder, parents gain a clear picture of what their student is learning and how to best support them. Organized Binder equips school leaders with a universal solution to unify and build positive school culture. Visit organizedbinder.com to learn how this education success platform supports students, teachers, and parents.
All right, and we're back, and Barry and I are talking about some interesting and powerful concepts, power of gratitude, Barry's approach to being great every day, engaging in the moment you're in right now. Something you mentioned probably when we started this conversation, but I haven't made a note, we haven't talked about it until now, but you mentioned how you follow a number of thought leaders. I've really enjoyed this conversation. So I'm very curious who some of those folks are that you enjoy learning from.
Okay. Well, you've got some of the ones that are influencers, but not necessarily educators. You know, you've got Tim Ferriss and James Altucher. And then you've got, you know, some of the crew that you may know from, you know, our Twitter followers. Is, you know, you got Jimmy Cassis and Jeff Zoll and Derek McCoy and, you know, Bobby Dodd and Winston and, you know, my superintendent, Glenn Robbins, like people that you surround yourself with, maybe just listening to a podcast that they've been on or reading a tweet or just reaching out on Voxer and saying, you know, I'm grappling with this or I'm challenged by this or here's something I'm thinking. But one way or the other, you're making sure that you have those connections in every day. So you're rooted and your foundation is really set in terms of, this is how I want to live my life today.
And earlier you mentioned too, how you really try to think about how you invest in others, right? So it's about surrounding yourself with amazing people to help you produce that high quality work and to help make just everybody around you better. And then you talked about investing in others. And can you give a practical example or two of what that looks like?
Sure. There's one thing that we're doing this year that I'm really proud of. We're doing something called a reflective practice protocol for about a quarter of our staff. So what they do is they videotape themselves teaching, and then they come and they bring that video in and they have to watch it beforehand. So they come with kind of a foundation in terms of how they feel like the lesson went, and they have some touch points that they want to make sure we look at. And then we just sit down and watch a video together, just like coach and player, and we just break down the glows and the grows. And, you know, I'll pause the video every now and again and just ask, you know, like, what were you thinking right here? Or what would the lesson have been like if you would ask that question, or paused it and said that right there, that was a really good question. You know, where did that one come from? You know, and I tell my staff that if they engage in this kind of reflective practice where it's four videos in 4-week increments, and then they just have one observation if they're tenured and two observations if they're non, their teacher effectiveness score, that grade that they get for getting observed, is an automatic 4.0. So they don't have to worry about what their summative score is going to look like for the instructional practice. It's really already taken care of. And our focus is just on How can I make you better? How can we engage in pedagogy? And honestly, how are you going to make me better from sitting there and watching so many lessons over the course of 4 months? Because I'm reflecting and I have to up my game, because I have to look during the course of a day at a music lesson and a middle school science lesson and an elementary math lesson and a reading intervention lesson. I need to come with that sharpened iron too, and that lens where I can say, here's where I think that worked. What do you think about this? And what can we do about that? And being able to engage in those honest discussions is really what moves the needle.
I'm sensing that for some teachers, or maybe for the majority of them, I don't know, it's going to be a bit uncomfortable watching themselves, right? And in engaging in that deep type of reflection through the video. Any things that worked for you at Tabernacle to help people feel safe during this reflective process?
Well, the first piece is to realize that you're supposed to feel uncomfortable, right? Like, unless it's your prom photo, you're not looking your best. And I think we got to get that part out of the way.
Prom wasn't even that good for me.
Neither was mine, brother. But you know what? We made it through. The one thing I make sure I do is with anybody who's agreed to the process is I show them video of me engaging in this process, which was slightly different in a district that I was in, where it wasn't as intensive as we do it. But I have a video of me teaching second graders the last year I taught. The first year I taught second, and then I didn't come back around and teach it again until my 15th. So to watch me beginning of the year trying to manage a classroom, having dropped from fifth to second after spending 8 years in fifth grade, it was a challenge. You know, and if I show, when I show them my early video and then my later video and show, here's the difference based on me engaging in this kind of reflective activity. If I can do it, you can do it. And I think that's a powerful thing, because for a lot of my teachers who watch me teach on that video, they're like, they've never seen me as a teacher. So yeah. The first thing was like, oh, that's kind of cool to watch you teaching. And I'm like, well, I'm still teaching. I just, that my people are a little older, you know? But I think that's another piece for another time, you know, because so many people think that, you know, you're crossing over. You move, there's a line that you move to another one when you move from a teacher to an administrator, when in actuality, you're just teaching on a much, much broader level than you did before.
Absolutely. So you're not a different species. You're just a different version of that same teacher.
That's exactly right.
Barry, is there a book, a video, a tool, or resource that's really impacted your quality of life, maybe within the last 3 months?
There's a few. There's one that I just keep coming back to just because I found a lot of value on it. And that's Who Moved My Cheese? That one I can almost quote verbatim from. There's a lot of good in there. There's one by Ryan Holiday, Ego is the Enemy. That's another one that I can keep coming back to when I feel like I need it, when I may have lost my grounding a little bit. And then there's a Mark Moran one. It's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a You Know What. And that's a good one too, because it reminds me of sometimes it's just about letting people speak. Let them get whatever it is that they need to get out. You have nothing you need to prove in that moment, except you need to hear it and then go from there. So those are a few that I kind of draw from.
Awesome. We'll link all those up for the show listeners. Since you're a fan of Tim Ferriss, if you listen to his podcast regularly, this question was inspired by Tim. Barry, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just a day?
And I know that inspiration because I've listened to Tim Ferriss and I've listened to your show and I'm like, ooh, I know this one. I pull from Who Moved My Cheese. And I love the one that, you know, imagine what you would do if you weren't afraid to fail. I used that in a post observation that I did recently with someone who was so concerned with just staying so close to the things that we discussed in our pre-observation, even though the students weren't ready for it by the time that person was going to do their observation because things just didn't break right for that. And in our post, you know, that teacher was like, yeah, you know, I didn't want to let you down. And we had talked about it, and I felt like I needed to do that. And what I said to that teacher is, you know, have you read this book? And do you know this quote? Because at the end of the day, your lessons are for you. Your lesson plans are for you. In a lot of cases, those lesson plans are fiction because what you thought you were going to do, you didn't get to, and that's okay. I'm looking more for, imagine what you would do if you weren't willing to fail right now, and trust your instincts to adapt flexibly to what you see in front of you.
It's awesome. And you knew this last question was coming then too. If you've heard this podcast before, you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, Barry? And what would be your top three priorities?
It'd be getting the right people, and then getting the right people, and then letting the right people do what they do and making sure that I stay out of the way of that. Each person builds on the heartbeat of that culture that you're trying to create. And when you have that right group of people in there, and they all see things the same way, pulling on the rope the same direction to do what's best for kids, then I truly believe anything is possible. It's about identifying what it is that you need, what you're trying to create, and who's going to add value more so than any program you can buy. So it's, if I had just a blank slate and an open book, and I could just bring in all those great people that we talked about, as well as a ton of people that you will never see on Twitter or in a magazine, but they're just phenomenal at what they do. If I could create that, we could really do some damage.
Barry, you've been an incredible guest here on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. What's the best way people can contact you if they want to follow up?
I'm on Twitter a little bit, so you can catch me there, BarryKid1. My website, if you want to take a look and reach out that way, that's another direct line, which is BarrySade.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm not that hard to find. and I love to connect with people. So, you know, the one thing that I always tell people, wherever I go, and, you know, whether I'm presenting or building a conference or just meeting someone, is just don't feel weird reaching out, you know, because I won't feel weird reaching out.
Barry, thanks again for being my guest here on the podcast.
Oh, Danny, thanks for having me, man. It was truly like a pleasure and an honor. I've listened to a lot of the podcasts, and I've heard quite a few impressive people that you've interviewed. So that to be thought of alongside them enough to have some time with you, that's a win-win for me.
Well, Glenn wasn't blowing smoke. He said this would be an awesome conversation. I'm very thankful that I had it.
Well, hey, as am I.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, man.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. And make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.